Welcome, everyone, to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Wonderful to have all of you here this evening. We're sorry about what happened on Veronica's show for those that are tuning in from Tuesday. My wonderful guest, Veronica Entwistle,
hi,
who has become a wonderful addition to the program. We love her. Veronica is an amazing healer and intuitive and medium and just all kinds of wonderful gifts.
She has
her own show on Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock called Radiance by Design. And
I just want to say about that, too, that Radiance by Design, and we were talking powerfully with ETs, and then everything shut down. And there were many people who considered that that was a statement. We were designing that somehow, right? So if it shuts down tonight, just hang in there because it'll reconnect. Don will put it back together. It's not the ETs, I don't think. Is it Jackie?
No. No, it's... And we'd love to hear from you if you have questions during the evening. The phone numbers to call for the U.S., 877-876-5227 for Canada, 888-810-8322, and International Direct, 530-876-3222. All right. Well, on Veronica's show, and since this is really kind of a continuation, we were talking a lot about the abduction scenario, what that means, how it works, why it's happening. And I want to tell our listeners this evening, I do not work with the grays. This is not because I don't have love for them. They have their own agenda on the planet. And as a continuation of our discussion on Tuesday, Veronica, I just want to let people know that they are creating hybrid races that will be exploring the universe. And they don't understand why we're not excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who feel that they have had negative experiences with them. In Dolores Cannon's work, and Dolores certainly has a show on BBS Radio, she's written many books about her experiences regressing people who've had abduction experiences, and in none of them, and I've worked with Dolores personally, she's never had any of these people who've been regressed in their experience have a negative experience. It can be interpreted as negative when people come back into consciousness after an experience.
And what's the negative part? Is that because somebody plucked you out of time as you know it? Is it because we feel victimized, or what's the negative part?
You know, that's a great question, Veronica. And, you know, I'll address it on several levels. Anytime you are in an experience where you feel that you can't move, and this is part of the phenomena, my best friend's daughter calls it being frozen. It is a form of paralysis. It is for their safety as well as for yours, or the person who's having the experience. And that in and of itself can create trauma. Now, their goal, of course, is to screen the memories. Now, there is an intentional, at this time, an intentional opening for people who've had these experiences. At this timing in the evolution of a planet or a species, for the information to start leaking out or leaking through so that people can start trying to integrate the fact that, yes, extraterrestrials exist, yes, I'm having some form of experience, and enough people, what eventually happens, they start communicating with one another either through someone writing a book or bringing the information out. And there are many, 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 many groups of extraterrestrials, far more than what we know about on the planet today.
Can I interrupt you just for a sec? Is that abduction isn't the only form of interaction with extraterrestrial, is it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it is not.
Okay.
And really, rather than calling it abduction, it's really more of a detainment. I mean, they really don't like the expression abduction because that's not really the intent.
They just bar you for a while.
Well, they take you on a trip. I work with a lot of people who have had these experiences. There is an imprint in their energy field. For me, almost the moment I hear their voice or I know that they have had these experiences, several things are going on because nothing is just one thing. One is people who are having these experiences have agreed to it prior to the incarnation. There is a contract. This is not just an arbitrary, I like the looks of this one, let's take them. And the reason we would have agreed to this is because from the larger perspective, in order to help the perpetuation of the human species and understand that new species would be created through the hybridization of the two species together, the grand plan makes perfect sense. But when you drop down into, third density, where you're not even aware that extraterrestrials exist, okay, then from that perspective, you feel as though you are being victimized.
I think that a question I have, too, is what are the symptoms of having had an experience? Because it seems like our life and our emotions and our psychology tell us what's happened before we actually get it in our thinking, right?
Okay. These are pretty standard questions, and I don't like to lead people, but if I already see it in the energy field, then this probably is would not be accepted by some psychologists. But generally, first of all, is recurring dreams in childhood. And in the recurring dreams, the child is being chased. Fear of the dark. Now, these are pretty standard things, okay? Except mm-hmm. that in the dreams where they're being chased, generally, the answer is three people chasing them.
Okay.
Not one, three. And it's a recurring nightmare. It's something that they never forget. A lot of times, they have forgotten it until you bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately it comes busting through because it's time for it to break into the conscious level. There are the more obvious ones, obviously, loss of time and that kind of thing. But generally, encounters begin in childhood.
Mm.
And they know because the contract is made prior to coming into incarnation. So they begin connecting in a very benign way with children when they're quite small.
Are those children particularly like difficult, emotional, or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, it's interesting. That's another great question. That gets into a whole other arena, and here's what I'll say. In this particular lifetime, because this really is a culminating lifetime before we move into the higher dimensions of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Many people came in and took on extremely difficult lifetimes because they believed that in their healing of this, in their processing of it, that they would help many people in their healing. And so there was really a grand design to all of this. And Veronica, certainly you had a difficult, childhood. I did as well.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, not in every case, but in many, many cases, the children have extremely difficult childhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked to Dr. John Mack about this, who has now left the planet. He spent the last 10 years of his life working with the abduction phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Harvard professor of psychiatry and a Pulitzer Prize winner. I think his work was outstanding. It was a huge exploration for him, and he came to the conclusion this was no longer a matter of is it real, he absolutely knew it was real, and then it was a matter of how do you deal with it and help people through it.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me this, once you help people through it, does that mean that they can communicate with the extraterrestrial populations easily?
Not necessarily.
Okay. I should think that'd be a goal.
Well, encounters with one race don't necessarily open up encounters with others.
Ah.
They're not mutually exclusive, let's put it that way. Some people, Veronica, have a lot of anger and feel very victimized. The goal is for them to process through that and come to peace with it.
Mm-hmm.
Once they come to peace with it and move out of a sense of victimization, then they can open themselves up to communication.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it sure does, actually. Yeah. Again, it's a choice of consciousness and clearing.
Well,
again, it's clearing, isn't it? So maybe
it is clearing. And, you know, in addition to all of this, Veronica, there is a processing of people who agreed to do this. There's another level to this because nothing is just one thing. There is an agreement to process a very big degree of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It is like them being volunteers to take on something that is so frightening. And in their healing of the fear, it has a quantum effect on the mass consciousness.
Okay.
So you see, there are multiple layers to it. I mean, I am an abductee.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the only race I've interacted with numerous races. So, you know, but as a child, and I very much accept this as a contract, you know, I actually met a man in this lifetime that I was aboard ship with when we were children. And I remember literally reaching down because he was younger than I was and patting his little red head. So, now, if you have an experience with, let's say, the Zeta race, the Greys, does that mean that you won't have or could not be having experiences with other races? The answer to that would be yes, you could. I know in my case that is very definitely the case.
I should jump to the conclusion that if you have one with one, you'd probably be very open to connecting with others.
Again, not if you're operating in stark fear. They're different agendas. Now, some people signed up for multiple agendas.
So you're saying the agendas come from the extraterrestrials, not from us? Or?
No, I'm saying that your agreement to participate in them is yours.
Mm.
Are there multiple agendas out there? Yes.
Mm.
The healing work, okay, and this is something that I'll go back to what John Mack said. Dr. Mack said that he felt this was an outreach program to the spiritually impaired. And I kind of loved his statement. And in his books, and they're on my website for anybody who's interested, he wrote two of them, Passport to the Cosmos and Abduction.
Hmm.
And, you know, John's work changed dramatically towards the end of his life. In the beginning, you know, He had his own struggle with some of the experiences that people were having. I think what Dolores Cannon discovered is taking people into a deeper level of regression, which is a somnambulistic state. The experiences were less frightening, and because you're below, you're much deeper, let's put it that way.
You have a greater understanding of a different
concept. Yes, exactly. In the people that John worked with, and he had an excellent film called Touched, and that was kind of the last great work that he accomplished before he left the planet. There were several of his clients that were in the movie. It took about 3 years to make.
Hmm.
And it was interesting that in the clients that he, or the patients that he featured in the film, they developed a love for the Greys. They realized, one of them in particular, a young man, that one of the gray females was his soulmate.
Oh, my.
And
that's where the contract was made, right? At the
exactly.
Yeah.
And with another young woman, a very extraordinary young woman. This was a little different situation because she was dealing with the greys and the reptilians. She had reptilian children, and she was very attached to the children. Now, again, you know, there's so much out there that is frightening. And, you know, my goal is to try to help people understand it and come to peace with it so that we're not functioning in fear, so that we can come to some level of understanding and realize that when we're not functioning in fear, we can have interactions where we can help one another in a way.
Tell me, Jackie, if I think I might have a hybrid child and I'm scared about that, how do I know? How do I find out?
Okay, well, Veronica, let me ask you a question.
Please.
Why would you be afraid of that?
Something in my maternal self starts going, I don't know. I just feel a huge reach from my loins, if you will. Isn't that funny? It's like wanting to know, I suppose.
Okay. For you and everyone out there that's listening that may suspect that they could have a hybrid child, very simply put out your intention to connect with that child. Now, generally speaking, that will be honored, especially when you're coming at it from full consciousness.
So if you just want to know if you have one, you put your intention out.
Well, if you want to know if you have one, the answer will come to you. The next question, again, okay, is to get very clear with yourself and try to move out of the fear,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that you can say, I know I have a hybrid child, or if I have one, I want to know that that child's okay, or have some memory come through that will allow me to confirm that I have communicated with or connected with that child.
Hmm.
You see, there are a lot more people out there that have hybrid children than they realize.
I just wondered if we have, you know, when people have a hidden abuse issue, very often it starts to rise in our consciousness and disrupt things. I just wondered if this connection...
Okay, wait, let's go back to that one. And I want to share this with you because it's something that has come up in my work that I was fascinated by. I had several people who felt that they had discovered late in life that they felt that they had sexual abuse and attributed it to an uncle, a father, or whatever. When in fact what had happened is that they had abduction experiences and they were translated in the mind into a sexual experience.
So it's a similar syndrome.
It has sexual overtones, but not in the kind of way that you would have an interaction with a human.
But the releasing technique that we use as a subconscious vehicle is similar to the syndrome of releasing hidden abuse, right?
Well, I'll give it to you this way. As a child, I thought I had been molested by, this is terrible when I look back on it, by a neighbor's boy. There were three of them. Interesting. Again, the number three, by the way. And I remembered that all of my life. I was shown in a very direct experience my whole life and everything that had happened, and that was actually my first encounter, and I was about three.
Oh, my.
And I translated it into some form of sexual abuse, okay? That's what my mind did with it.
Interesting.
Now, for that experience to be brought to me by them, and as they kind of did a life review with me one night and showed all my life experiences, how they led to all of this and why, you know, how this was all designed. And that gave me such clarity because once I knew it, the memory then opened up.
Interesting.
You see, the human mind has such difficulty with something that it's like Magellan's ships.
Right.
It really can't, it doesn't know what to do with the experience because it is so foreign. Now, I can tell you that they are more afraid of you than you are of them.
Really?
Absolutely. And once you can actually move out of the context of victim and want to have a more direct interaction, that can be accomplished. Now, we're only talking about the Zetas of the gray race here. Mm-hmm. And the reason, you know, I've kind of brought this up the last couple of weeks is because I think it's so important to start eliminating some of the fear. Unfortunately, what happens is people have projected this whole fear thing, and there are lots of people out there talking about, you know, the hidden alien agenda. They want to take over the planet. You know, just all kinds of things.
Probably are some that want to do that, aren't there?
There are some, you know, just like there are some humans that don't have the highest of intent.
Right, and some are travelers.
My understanding is that there are some aliens that don't. I have never encountered them. I have no reason to fear. And what I have been told, if you don't go there with your consciousness, they cannot see you.
Perfect. I'm up for that.
Well, exactly. Again, okay.
And some of them are adventurers, are they not? And
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely adventurers.
And what about all this that we hear that some are coming to help us or to participate in this amazing consciousness shift that's going on?
Okay. Well, and I'll talk specifically about those that I work with, which is a consortium, if you will, of a huge number of races. Too many to even give you. Many of them just come from planets that have a number. They don't have a name. They're all participating. This is really kind of through the Andromedans began this. The Andromedans, Joan Ocean has talked about this on her website, that the Andromedans just showed up one day. You know, all of a sudden she'd been working with the Arcturians and the Andromedans showed up.
Hmm.
The Andromedans have been considered kind of the spiritual hierarchy of the cosmos. They got together and said, okay, you know, let's try to reach out and help. Do what we can and in a compassionate, loving, caring way. And the first way to do that is to help with health, okay? Emotional, physical, spiritual healing. And you know, they knew that this would only come through in a limited way, but it could grow very rapidly when people started seeing that there would be age regression and elimination of diseases and so on. And this is the group I work with, so you understand. And
mm-hmm.
It's huge. I mean, it's so big. Where I live, there are three major ships that sit up here. One's Arcturian, one is Pleiadian, and the other one is Andromedan. And, I mean, they're huge. There are many scientists involved in this, as well as those that are working on the healing levels. It's expanded dramatically from what we began with, you know, certainly far more than I ever could have imagined. The goal is to empower people and to be ambassadors so that you could get to know them in a way that is non-threatening, that is helpful, that is loving. And more importantly than that, Veronica, is the fact that the entire spiritual hierarchy is working in tandem with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are not separate by any stretch of the imagination from anything, be it the angels, spiritual hierarchy, the ETs. Everything is together.
So their goal is included in our evolutionary track.
Absolutely, and it's all about our evolution to try to expedite the shift dimensionally for Earth as well as humans.
And the shift is us moving into a higher...
I didn't hear you, honey. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. The shift is us moving into a higher frequency reality.
Absolutely.
Dominant or in charge of our own consciousness.
Fully empowered and remembering who we really are.
Okay.
And I personally can't think of anything more important than that.
Okay, I want you to tell people what does it mean to do ET healing? How do they function with you or through you? How does that work?
Ooh, that's a biggie.
And is it...
You want it from the beginning?
Something so people understand from what... After the last show, several people told me in some ways they were a little frightened by this, but I know that it's all manageable and it's to do with consciousness.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
And so I just wanted everybody to have a bit of an experience or a discussion.
Okay. From the moment that someone calls me and their name goes in the book, a team is sent out to see who they are, who their star families are, who they're connected to, what their higher self, the goals that they've set for this lifetime, etc. Kind of a review. You're never disturbed. You may have a sensing of a presence in the house. It's not there long. People who have the ability to see, one woman wrote me and she said there were three beings in like a pink cloud that came into the house. They were so beautiful and so loving. And they were only there for a few minutes, but it was enough. Some people have a dream experience where they can feel energies running through their bodies the night after they have, you know, made an appointment. But there is absolutely nothing threatening. My favorite story, Veronica, and you'll love this. I had a session booked with a man who's a healer, wonderful healer, and his girlfriend is very clairaudient. The day of his session, she refused to go in the house, and he called me, and I said, "What's the problem?" And he said, "Jackie, she can hear all of this kind of whispering going on. She can't understand the language." And he said, "But it sounds like they're having a party." And I said, "Those are my guys." So I think what I should explain to people is that they're wondrously funny. They have a very elevated sense of humor. Some of them are serious. Some of the scientists who are there to learn as much as they can. And what they do is take that information to our human scientists and whisper it to them in any way, bring it to them through the dream state, whatever, to help move forward our physical science on the planet. So there's so much more going on than what people understand. The clients that I have, I have some that will only come for so many sessions. I have some that may only come for three or four. I have some that have worked with me for 2.5 years because their lives are becoming so magical. They've become so empowered. You know, they've healed all their relationships, met the loves of their lives. It should be ET healing and matchmaking. they've moved into their great work. This is an accelerated process for you to remember who you really are and to let go of all of the physical, emotional, and spiritual damage.
So that isn't really about us having to get to know the ETs per se. It's about our evolution and their supporting it.
Well, it is in its both. Again, Veronica, nothing's one thing. What I have seen over a period of time with my clients is that they have developed, especially in the dream state, very loving relationships with them. I have two clients that are twins, these wonderful women, who had experiences with the same, they were so cute, the same ETs, who wanted them to paint them. And they would show them parts of themselves so that they could, you know, paint them and draw them. They wanted to be depicted. I mean, you know, see, unfortunately, this is why it's so good to have you with me. My experiences have been so non-threatening, so loving, so fun, and so funny with them that I never think of people being afraid of this, but obviously they're going to be. Like I said, that's why I'm trying to kind of clear up this whole fear factor that people have about I see the abduction phenomena as a separate issue.
Well, and some of that's been dramatically presented, too, with a lot of fear and terror.
Well,
you know,
there is also an agenda. I always am careful about what I say. I will put it to you this way. There has been a tremendous denial on our planet about the existence of extraterrestrials, and so there has been intent to have people be afraid of them so that people didn't take their power. Your government can't control you if you know that there is something more than your government out there that has greater power. Then all of a sudden the ability to control a race goes away. And, you know, I don't want to point fingers, and I don't want to, I'm really not into the negative side of any of this. I just ask people to to really go in your hearts with this and realize that there is absolutely nothing negative going on. I have to look at the feedback from my clients and see what's happening in their lives, mm-hmm. see what's happening with their health, with their emotions, with their spiritual growth, with their psychic opening, their abilities to heal. All of these become gifts that come as a result of the work. And that's, you know, heal themselves and others. And, you know, I see this as an expansion, a very rapid acceleration of the gifts that, you know, we've all been waiting to reclaim.
Mm-hmm. You have some wonderful beings that you call by name. Can you talk about any one?
Yes, I can.
That would be wonderful. We'd love some introductions here.
Well, it's interesting. I talked to a man tonight. One of them is Yoroka. She never will tell us where she's from. I can tell you it's got some numbers to it. She's very tall, about 6 feet tall, very narrow, very slender, very buxomy, large eyes, and hysterically funny.
Really?
And and irreverent. And irreverent. And kind of her thing is, and I really don't want to give the sexual overtones because it doesn't have them, but my experience occasionally with men that I have worked with that have been a little uptight is that she would go to see them in the dream state and they would have a rather sensual experience, not sex, please don't misunderstand. And the goal was to kind of open them up before their session. And in every case, they would ask me, you know, I used to do sessions where I would actually dialogue with all of them. I don't do that anymore because I found it distracting for the client. But although it was a lot of fun. I had two men back to back, one day to the next, both had the same experiences with Yoroka, and it kind of made me giggle. They both asked me what she looked like, and I described her, and that they shared their experiences. And what really is happening is that in her visiting them, their frequencies are so high that as a human, especially in the male gender, they tend to interpret that from a sexual perspective because they feel it in those lower chakras. So it's not really a sexual experience. It can be interpreted as such because when you come up against something of a much higher frequency, it can feel very sexual because your chakras are stimulated.
Right.
Oren is head of the medical team. He is from Sirius. Mm-hmm. Many people know Oren has had many different kinds of lifetimes, many times held the same name. When I was introduced to him, I had no idea who he actually was. I happened to call my friend and said, gee, I just was introduced to the head of my team. And, oh, she said, well, I always include him in my prayers. And I'm like, how do you know Oren? And there's actually some books that have been channeled by someone from Oren, and they're all based on joy and love.
Oh.
And he's absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. There is Fotar, who is my great buddy. He's a very tall being. He's actually about 7.5 feet tall. They can make themselves small or large, just so you understand. When people talk about having 100,000 beings present, and Veronica, you've been at a couple of intensives I did, where they said we're going to have 100,000 beings there, they layer in, and the way they do that is by making themselves very small.
Ah.
Again, for us, you know, we're so linear, it doesn't compute. Fotar designed the website. He worked with my web guy, and, you know, the web guy was aware of, literally, of him working with him.
Hmm.
There's Patuk, who kind of watches over the clinic, because oftentimes I will awaken in the middle of the night. They'll have the fan going, the big light over the table, and they're in there working. So it can be disconcerting. And so
did it take you a while to adjust to all that?
No, you know, it's really interesting. It felt so normal from the very beginning.
Hmm.
Now, did it take me time to adjust to the energies that come through me? Yes. that was the biggest challenge.
And how'd you do that?
Well, good question. In order to raise my frequency, it began with these huge energies coming through me, and for the first couple of months, I couldn't see. My vision was very blurred. Mm. I could only do, in the beginning, one session a day, and then finally two, and of course, it moved from there. I still can't do more than four sessions a day. And I, literally, when I sit down in my chair up in the healing room, they turn on. There's some rainbow energetic light that runs all over me, and it's very physiological. It literally is physiological. You can actually feel it running up your body and up across, you know, your chakras, and it's very physiological for me.
Hmm.
When the energies come through, I'm getting much better at managing it now. But the power seems to come, the energy seems to come through my voice. So not only are they working on you in your home or if you're in the healing room there, but then also whatever, because I channel part of the session, the energy comes through my voice. And I've actually appeared to people at the dream state who have asked me to come and told them this, which I thought was very interesting. So, I mean, I was aware of it, but I thought it was interesting that I was appearing to them in the dream state. But, you know, I've always said to people, I will never do that unless you ask me to come. And it was a very, you know, again, our physical stuff, our emotional stuff, you know, to clear it out, it took time to clear me and clear. And I'm still in process.
Hmm.
I'm still in process.
Will you be in process your whole life, probably?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I don't think I have any question about that.
Okay.
You know, I've had other psychics look at me and say, well, your lineage is almost completely gone, and that I really don't have any attachment to any lifetimes or lineage or anything. I feel real detached from all the human experience in that respect. Not from humans, I love them, but, you know, from any of the histrionics, if you will. I don't have a lot of attachment to that at all.
But you had to work at kind of stepping out of it or healing it. Or...
I, believe me, this would... is, you know, my end of this is absolute diligent work on my own process all the time. And there are many things they don't tell me because even from the very beginning, Veronica, I didn't know how I was going to do this. I knew nothing about the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about any of this. I was the least likely person in the world. And yet the first time somebody got on the table, I could see in their body, I could see the equipment, I knew exactly what was going on, and I have no idea how. And that's honest. And I would ask them, do you want me to go on the computer and learn about the human body? And they'd say no. And they wanted me innocent. And they got me that way, too.
So you had a purification process? Would you say that the illnesses and so on that you've suffered are a purification process?
I think that's possible, Veronica. I think also... my contract was that I wanted to experience everything so that I would have, and believe me, this sounds kind of like a martyr statement, but I certainly don't intend it that way. I had a great curiosity coming into this lifetime. I wanted to experience everything and understand everything,
mm-hmm.
what humans would feel and know. You know, I lived in 13 foster homes, and I had a very difficult childhood, and I was in protective custody and awarded of the state and so on and so forth. And I've had cancer several times and, you know, all kinds of things, gone through, you know, very emotionally devastating experiences. And I think that what it has given me is a tremendous compassion for humans, for every human, and a deep understanding of what they feel and how to get to it and heal it. So I would say it kind of was... was my menu, kind of.
So it was an education
mm-hmm.
on how people work more than or as much as a clearing process.
I think that it's like having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Working with cancer patients, you don't understand the process of cancer unless you've had it.
Right.
You just can't get inside of that. you know, you can't get inside of a broken heart unless you've had it. You can't get inside of the loss of everything unless you've had, you know, I've died, I've kind of done it all. But what's wonderful, and I really, you know, I kind of look at it all with a lot of gratitude, is that it gives me such an understanding of what everybody has experienced so that, you know, whoever I work with, it's so much easier to get into those emotional issues and work to lift them out, because all illness begins in the emotional body. And what we've seen in the lineage work, you know, is that, you know, we go back in the lineage, and when we look at mom and dad and the grandparents on both sides and the siblings, you know, you could see where the damage started and just continued on. Mm. You know, rather than seeing it as hereditary, you know, we see it more as an emotional imprint, then dropping down into, you know, being carried forward through the genes. And so
I see that all the time.
I'm sorry?
I see that as well.
I'm sure you do. Well, you're so good, honey. You are wonderful at what you do.
Thank you.
So, you know, this has been a real challenge for me, and I would say this to, you know, it's not, you know, I don't try to be a queen or a know-it-all or anything like that. I really have great love for people, and I get so excited for someone when they're going to have their first session.
Mm.
Because I know that we call it the lube and tube session. It's the one where we raise the frequency of all the organs and balance the hormones and, you know, start lifting some of this, you know, a lot of people. It's interesting that as a, especially in the United States, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but, you know, what used to be gas stations on every corner are now pharmacies.
Mm.
And, you know, I see this
different kind of gas.
Yeah, as a dumbing down of America, as an anesthetization of America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was having a discussion with some people the other evening, and she had gone to a doctor years ago, and the nurse was taking down her information on what drug she was on, and her question was, you're not taking any form of, I don't know what they call them.
Antidepressants? Or?
Thank you, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the nurse's comment was that she thought it should be in the water because no one is happy with their lives. And I thought, oh my God, that's such a tragedy.
Oh, my.
That is a huge statement to make.
Mm-hmm, it really is, isn't it?
And, you know, if you look at your television, where they're advertising drugs on TV, you know, they've got our kids on drugs, you know, everybody's got something going on. And, you know, if you can't feel, you sure as heck can't heal.
And, you know, I really agree with you. And there's this thing about the ET healing and the kind of healing work you do. I just want to make a connection here. If we use frequencies, if we use energy to raise people's fields, it can actually address all those various issues. And is that what the ET healing is all about? Is
yes.
That
the goal is to lift the damage. You know, had an interesting conversation with someone the other night. And they said, well, I've been working on healing all these past lifetimes. And they assumed that their physical body would follow suit. And I said, no, that's not the case. The energy is still imprinted in the physical body. And so you may have healed your experience of it, but it didn't lift out of your body. Those are like time bombs.
Mm.
Every experience you have, including in the womb, in the many cases even dropping down onto the planet, the trauma of that alone is still anchored in the physical body. So the goal, of course, is to lift these things out, and the process is so much bigger than I am, you know. I know that they come at it from every direction, but in terms of it being frightened, no.
So you're just saying the goal is to lift these programs out of the body, which are like energetic blobs.
Absolutely. There are grids. I mean, we've even found like dark crystals in people. You know, I work on a lot of healers, mm-hmm. and it's been interesting to me to see the amount of the number of people who are healers that have asthma and breathing problems. And Steve Rother sent something out the other day about it. that this was kind of a phenomena for healers on the planet with the asthma and breathing problems, and it's because the healers are taking on so much of the emotional energy of their clients without realizing it. And so there's so much.
So can I go back to something? I'm pushing you to say something in particular, I think. Which is that when we have the asthma or the emotional congestion in the chest, right, then when you're working with clients and with the amping up that your ET friends do, you're actually streaming very high-frequency energy through their body, are you not?
Huge.
And that's what the process of healing is all about, isn't it?
Well, not only is it streaming through my body, but a very not as strong a frequency is moving through the client's body.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they adjust it to what is most appropriate for that person. If somebody calls up and they want to have a session and they're highly sensitive and they say, look, I can't move real fast, then we tune everything down because we don't want to throw people into process. That's not the goal here.
What does that mean, throw people into process?
Well, if you've carried around a lot of emotional damage, which it's Earth, and...
Ta-da, here we are.
Yes, exactly. And you start lifting. Now, most people have a sense of well-being. They may go through a couple of days. Some people, you know, we've pretty much got that worked out where we're not doing that anymore, where people generally, within, I'd say, 12 hours, have a... or 12 to 24 hours, have this renewed sense of well-being, and it continues on of feeling lighter, feeling happier, feeling freer, feeling more positive, and it's part of the lifting process.
So they dumped, literally released some kind of congestion that's been holding them down.
Absolutely.
But
and
sometimes that's ballast, isn't it? Sometimes that creates their security, so they have to re-identify themselves.
They do have to re-identify, and that is a process. You know, we do a lot of, undoing the contracts in marriage, or, you know, divorces. And we're doing a lot of work with the chakras now that has really moved to, you know, kind of the fore in terms of, we're especially working with the ascension chakra, which is just kind of being born onto the planet right now. And, but now, Veronica, from your perspective, because you're kind of playing the devil's advocate here, which is wonderful. you know, from a perspective of the fear that people feel, and I understand this very, very well. And I'm going to share this with people because this has been a new phenomena. On my website, it talks about permanent implants. They have stopped doing that. Now, I really don't know why, but they stopped doing it. Now, we do imprints, which is an energetic imprint, which is fourth, fifth, and sixth dimensional, into the temporal lobes, frontal lobes, pineal gland, a kind of pyramid-shaped crystalline lenses behind the eyes and in the ears as well. And this is what I call seeing without seeing, hearing without hearing, knowing without knowing. You're functioning more multidimensionally. And those are upgraded during every session. They were doing permanent implants. They're not doing them anymore, and I have no idea why. First of all, I haven't had time to ask.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, what's in an implant? Is that something that's going to program a person?
No. This was for monitoring.
Okay.
What
kind of monitoring? Do you want to know exactly where we are or what we're doing?
Well,
like a chip?
Okay, hold on. In doing this work, the goal was to see what would happen to the emotional body. How, you know, we've spent almost 3 years now building protocols. How are humans going to evolve? How far can we go? We don't want to overwhelm them. We don't want to overload them. It's been a learning process. Evidently, they have reached a point now where they don't have to do that any longer. They, you know, I've been very surprised in the last couple of weeks with the new people. Nobody received any permanent implants. So I can only assume, and I'm asking right now, and I'm getting confirmation that that's the case, they don't have to do that any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people who've had experiences with the grays, some had experiences with the reptilians. Like I said, I don't work with either, but they all have implants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have removed some, but can only do it with, I have to go for special permission to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a non-interference policy generally, okay? We had somebody call up the other day, and their child was having experiences, and it was traumatizing him. And I asked the team to go and end the contract because the mother asked. And we had to get permission from the higher self, and it was granted.
Hmm.
But, you know, there's very much protocol on the other side of the veil, and it's done with a lot of respect. And, you know, I treat all this with a lot of respect because I do, that part I really understand.
Mm-hmm. So what's the ultimate goal?
Oh, the ultimate goal is to extend our life expectancy to 250 years disease-free for those that we're working with, okay? You know, I really believe that everybody I work with is called to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to accelerate them into their great work, whatever that may be, you know, to lift them out of the constrictions and confines of the heaviness, you know, all the lifetimes and lineage and all of the things that have been so restrictive and have such huge influence on us. And I can only assume that each person that I work with has a very big role on the planet, and that's the way I treat it,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to move into their great work, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our goal, to empower them and clear them to the point where they can find their voice. You know, Veronica, I'm sure you've run into this with all the work you do with people. Haven't you seen where certain people kind of fall into categories, whether they came in to work with healing their relationship with God or with chauvinism or religion?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, talk about that. That's pretty exciting, actually.
What's your encounter with that been?
Basically, I probably don't see it quite like you, but I see us in kind of divisions of labor where each of us has our specialty and almost like we're clumped into colors. And we send, I don't know how to explain it verbally, actually, but it's like we mobilize a wave of consciousness around the world that kind of matches what's, does that make any sense? Matches what we're on about as a soul journey. I just see it as linked to the soul.
Okay, all right. And I'll kind of put it my way, which is my personal experience, because has been, you know, and it's interesting to me to look at my overall clientele as a group and see how many people I'm working with, let's say from Saudi Arabia or Muslim women or people who've been very isolated, like in Norway on an island or in England or Australia or wherever they may be from. But there's a lot of lineage, Chinese, where there's been a lot of sorrow, and the Palestinians, Lebanese, Arab women, Muslim women, Jewish people. We've done a lot of work where these people as a race have carried a lot of sorrow and a lot of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal has been to kind of try to help accelerate healing for those races. The other is, you know, I was talking with somebody about this tonight, women who came in to really work with almost a rage at having been repressed and stripped of their power for thousands of years.
Mm.
And this, some of them carry it in a very big way, some of them carry it in a more subtle way. Child abuse, a lot of people who came in with a tremendous amount of abuse, being orphaned, etc. It seems to me, from my perspective anyway, that I seem to work with these people who do, like you, fall into these certain groups. I probably see it one way, you see it another. But that's the beauty of being human, is that we all see things our own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's the diversity where, you know, I think you asked about my life experience. I think my life experience has been so varied. And being in a ward of the state, I was actually incarcerated as a kid for almost 3 months. And in downtown Los Angeles, and I got to see all of these children, get to know them, who had had the most horrendous life experiences.
Wow.
And it gave me such a huge purview in terms of how much damage these children were going through.
Mm.
And the setup, you know, for their life experience was just unbelievable.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
And unfortunately, I think we're drawing to our time.
Veronica, please give everybody your website and tell them what you do.
My website is veronicaentwistle.com. That's www.veronicaentwistle.com. I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor. And I guess I don't use ET language, but I do move a lot of energy to move a lot of psychology and spiritual blocks.
And I can tell all of you she's incredible.
Thank you. I enjoy it.
I have the greatest respect for you, Veronica. You know that, and I love you dearly.
I love you, too. We've had a wonderful time, and you haven't talked about your website yet.
My website, www.ethealing.com, and we have enjoyed having everyone tonight that's listening. Tune in next week. Veronica's going to be back with us. I never know if I'm going to be in channel or if it'll be a discussion. We welcome your questions. And we wish you all a wonderful evening. We have a few minutes left.
And we should thank all our ET friends for participating and supporting us.
And, you know, I encourage everyone, if you go on my website, there's some references to some great books. I certainly encourage people to read Dolores Cannon's books that are on there.
And is Dr. Mack's movie available?
Yes, actually, if you search, I think his website is on my website.
Right.
I'm not certain, but the name of the movie, if you search it, is called Touched. And it can be ordered. It's an interesting exploration in the phenomena. This is for people who really have had the abduction phenomena or are curious about it. I sat with John when it was screened. And with the producer and co-producer. They spent 3 years doing this film. It's very interesting. These are real people with real experiences. With Dolores Cannon's books, all of those are include the regressions of different patients that she's had and their experiences and encounters with extraterrestrials and their extraterrestrial lifetimes that they have had as an extraterrestrial, which I think would be a great subject for next week's show.
Wonderful.
All right.
Look forward to it. Thank you so much, Jackie. I've learned so much, and I feel kind of cozy about ETs right now.
I'm so glad because that's the goal.
I'm ready to visit with them.
They're wonderful and they're fun.
I'm ready for a visit.
And they love it. They love us so much. They love us so much. And if I could ever convey anything, that's what I'll leave everybody with. And until next week, good night, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Good night.